Dear friends, thank you for joining us this evening. Today, in our Gnostic Lab for Practical Application, our conversation will be around the topic on discovering our own defects. This is certainly a skill that we all need to develop. And as part of our conversation today, what we will do is that we will share some things that you can and should do, some things that you should not do, and if you do, you should consider stop doing, and how would you be able to know that you are making any significant or meaningful progress? With that, we're going to do a brief relaxation exercise. And we are going to start an exercise of retrospection that we happened to practice last week. And at that point, we will allow you to continue with your own exercise, and we will fade in the background. So there are no other visuals for this presentation other than what you're seeing on the screen right now. And for those of you who are participating of this lecture, listening to its recorded version, what we have in the screen is the image of a cartoon. In this drawing, there is a man that is bent forward in suffering, and the shadow that is casted on the wall is a shadow of his inner defects. It is a shadow of his inner demons, and that shadow is controlling him like a puppet. So now you can create a mental image of what everyone else who is here partaking of this lecture in real time are actually seeing. So, because there are no other images, and now that you have seen this one and you have been able to internalize its message, we will invite you to cover your computer screen and allow to do this so that the light from the screen does not distract you. I would invite you to sit down comfortably with your feet flat on the floor, your hands resting comfortable on your thighs, and I would ask that you find a comfortable rhythm in your breathing and that you focus your attention into the brief words that we will be sharing with you today. Because when it comes to the topic of discovering our defects, there are some things that we should do. And the first one thing that we need to keep present is that there has to be an intent, a disposition, an internal definition that we need to assume so that we can effectively start focusing on observing, identifying, and discovering our defects. Until we do not define ourselves from that perspective, we're not going to be taking this work seriously. What observation has shown us is that everyone who has not defined themselves into deciding that this is the work that they are going to do, they continue butterflying through life, and they will know Gnosis very well. However, they will not apply it upon themselves. And because they don't apply it upon themselves, there's no real change. So as a consequence, 5 or 10 or 15 years later, after consuming all of that time, reading books, listening to lectures, going to congresses, going and participating of retreats, etc., etc., they still keep thinking the way that they were thinking 5, 10, or 15 years ago. And we must make a deliberate effort into becoming a new container, a new vase. Because even in the scripture it was written that when the great master was making himself ready to transmute the water into wine, he asked for new containers. He asked for new clean containers that were filled with pure water. evidently, for us to be able to make this change, we need to receive this wisdom. And to receive this wisdom, we have to make of ourselves a new container. That means that we need to start abandoning our old bad habits. We need to start changing our old ways of thinking. We have to be decisive in the work that we are intending to do with our own selves. So that is the first thing that we should do. The other things that we will do is that we have to be deliberate about learning how to split our attention in three distinct vectors, in three aspects. We have to split our attention into the topic of the subject, into the topic of the object, and into the topic of the location. Because the subject is you. And when we split part of our attention in the subject, there is a consistent state of self-observation. You are effectively putting to use that remaining awakened consciousness in you to be the observer, to be constantly watching, to help you to consistently remember that the things that you are going through in life are part of psychological gymnasium, that there is no need to be rebelling against them, that there is no need for us to react in ways that are of indifference or vengeful or of resentment or of whatever whenever somebody tells us something that we don't like to hear. As we do that, we always put ourselves in that third position, in that swing of the pendulum from one side to the other. Every time that that pendulum reaches an extreme, it finds a moment of pause before it starts its new course of motion. That moment of rest is of interest to us because the heart does the same thing. Between the systolic and the diastolic activities of the heart, there is always an instant of a brief pause. And it is an instant of that magnitude, all that we need, so that we can remember to maintain that remembrance of self. Now, when it comes to the object is every impression that comes to you. It is every impression that you can perceive through your senses, whether it is an impression that is of a sound nature, or of a smell nature, or a taste nature, or a sight nature, or a touch nature. These are all impressions that we must learn to transform. So when we are seeing an image that shocks us, the principle of polarity is of great use for us to be able to transform the impression. So if you're seeing somebody of the opposite sex, and it happens to be someone that is beautifully constructed, that is very attractive, and that invites internal reactions in you, the principle of polarity that says that everything that exists has its extremes and that those extremes must be reconciled, well, you can then take that principle of polarity and apply it in that circumstance and reconcile that extreme that you are seeing, that impression that is creating a shock in you. So if you see someone who is beautifully attractive, it is necessary that we remember that that beauty is temporal, that eventually all of that beauty is going to disappear, that eventually all of that beauty will age, or that it is so fragile that it can be lost in an instant. And when we see things from that perspective, then, and only then, we bring a level of consciousness into the experience that allows us to no longer identify with that. Because remember, if we identify, that is immediately followed by fascination. Identification leads into fascination, and fascination plunges us deeper into the sleep of consciousness. If you are hearing something that creates a shock in you, and for example, you are hearing someone who is judging and criticizing someone else, then it becomes adequately appropriate that we apply that very same principle of polarity into that impression. Let's find out what is the extreme and let's reconcile those. So if you hear someone who is gossiping about somebody else that you know, rather than going with the flow and that negative magnetic force of that gossip, then the right thing would be to keep in perspective all the good things that that victim actually does, all of the things that are creative and serviceable that that person actually does for you and for many others. And the moment we can apply that perspective, we effectively cancel the value of those words, and then we have no need to react. Then we have no need to object, because we must comprehend our objections. If we happen to be shocked by an impression that comes through the sense of taste, and we are enjoying of a food that is inviting of our aggregates of gluttony to come into play and abuse of the amount, the stuff that we're eating, then the right thing to do is to help ourselves by applying that principle of polarity onto the impression created by that food. And the moment that we do that, as we find ourselves indulging in the textures and the taste of what we're eating, rather than maintaining all of our attention at that moment, we can then bring satisfaction. We can then bring gratitude and gratification for what we are enjoying in that meal. And keep in mind, the many others who have to spend the day suffering of meal insecurity, the many others who have to go 1, 2, or 3 days sometimes without being able to eat because they just can't. And as we do that, we become more conscious of our action. And that additional consciousness into the action allows us to no longer identify with the textures and the flavors, but rather allow the sense of satisfaction to come in. Allow the sense of gratitude to be part of the experience. And then we can say, this is enough. And not necessarily throw it away, but perhaps save it for later. There is really no need for us to sit at a table and add an additional 1500 calories in a single dessert just because. So from that perspective, then we become more measured, and we don't have to throw it away, but perhaps we take it with us and we bring it home, and then we enjoy a little bit more tomorrow, and maybe the day after is still good and we can still have a little more. Maybe we can share it with our spouse or with our children, you see. So this is what we must do with that object. The object is the impression that comes to the senses. And as we are doing that, we also have to bring our attention into the element of location. And the way that we do that is by asking ourselves, where am I? Am I in the physical plane? Am I in the astral plane? And what that will do for you is that it will intently lead you to be more watchful, to be more attentive. At first, that extra span of attention will just be of a few seconds. But the more you practice the exercise, the stronger your ability will become, the better you will be at maintaining longer periods of attention, and this will effectively create a benefit into your faculty of concentration. So what should we do? We need to define ourselves. We certainly need to apply the key of SOL. And as we are doing that, the last thing that we would invite you to do is to remain watchful of your transactions with others. Because Samael tells us, behind every thought and behind every action, there is a defect. Behind every thought and behind every action, there is a psychological aggregate that is responsible for that. So in our interactions with others, as you receive the shock of their words, observe your reactions. Rather than rebelling and reacting, give yourself an opportunity, remember, in the subject of the key of SOL, to keep in perspective that this is all part of a psychological gymnasium. That there is really no threat to your life. That there is really no threat to your existence. So there is no need for your instinctive center to be reacting. Keep in perspective that as a psychological gymnasium, there is no need for the mind to react. As a psychological gymnasium, there is a need to expose that mind to those shocks so that we can then observe the reactions of the mind, so that we can see how it affects our thinking, so that we can then observe how is it that it affects our emotions, and how is it that our emotions go from whatever has been our baseline emotional state into this new state of a negative emotion. As we can see how it affects our thoughts and our emotions, then it becomes easier for us to see how it affects our habits. What do we do with our hands? What do we do with our mouth, with our eyes? How are we moving our eyebrows? How are we using our feet? How are we sitting? These are all different aspects that would express themselves different depending on the different psychological aggregates. So you see, we must decide ourselves on what is it that we are actually going to do. We must then practice the key of SOL, and we must remain observant of the reactions in our thoughts, in our emotions, and in our habits. When we do that, we become more and more capable of identifying from which cylinder in the human machine those reactions are coming from. Because now you know that the threat, that invented threat into our existence, triggers reactions from the instinctive center. So of course you're going to react in ways that are trying to prolong your survival, trying to prolong the survival of that ego. And because all the impulses that are instinctive in nature have to either do with fleeing or fighting, well, we would do either one of those things. Either we will be evasive of the different topics, or we will choose to walk away in the difficult conversations, or we will become overly aggressive as a way to quote-unquote defend ourselves from the quote-unquote attack that the other person is sending in our way. You see? Friends, of course, this all implies that as we are doing our key of SOL, that as part of the subject, that we can identify what is our current emotional state. So as you're doing this, if you find that you are in a state of boredom, and from that state of boredom you end up going into anger, or you end up going into lust, or you end up going very deep in those lower emotions, into propitiation and into adoring other people so that they would like you, you see, then you can see from where is it that you were at first. It is important that we see that, because it also gives us a good perspective on which egos are the ones affecting us. Now, what is it that we should not do? Well, we certainly need to be courageous. We certainly need to be willing to take heroic action. So we must not shy away from these difficult circumstances. We must make an effort to confront. But confront does not mean to be there in people's face. Confront means to be there with the ability to perceive. There is really no inherent danger to you in doing this work. So as you are hearing words of judgment or criticism towards you, rather than reacting, rather than walking away, take the heroic step and stay there and listen and make an effort to remain calm so that you can truly listen. Because as you do that, you then start creating a habit that is superior in nature. And before long, you will be grateful for the opportunity to discover more defects. What else is it that we should not do? Well, we should not be following through with the same bad habits that we have been carrying for many years. At some point, we have to break away from them. We should not be giving our ear to the gossip of others, just like we should not be contributing into the gossiping and the slandering as well. We should make an effort to not be judgmental. We have to make an effort to not be cruel, but rather be kind and compassionate. And this applies at all levels, not only in those interactions that you're having face to face, but in these modern times, also to all those transactions that we exercise from the safety of a remote location, through a keyboard and a computer, or through the keyboard of your mobile device. How would you know that you're indeed making some progress? Friends, as you start seeing these psychological aggregates, as you start seeing how they affect your thoughts, your emotions, and your habits, as you in your exercise of retrospection become able to start finding out from which cylinder of the human machine those reactions are coming from, whether they are from the emotional center or from the instinctive center, the sexual center, or the intellectual center, you will find out. And as you identify the source for these aggregates, and in that level of comprehension you invoke of your divine mother to eliminate them, in a while, you will start noticing that many things that bothered you before no longer affect you with the same intensity. Before long, you will start being able to see that you become more tolerant of things that you were very intolerant before. All of a sudden, you will realize that you are being more charitable, that you are being perhaps more affectionate, that you are being kinder, that you are being more compassionate, that you are being more resilient. That is how you know that you are making progress. But this, of course, should not be taken as a victory. It should only be taken as a moment of gratitude, satisfaction, gratefulness for the inner progress. But never think of lowering your guard because you convince yourself that you have already eliminated your defects. These are aggregates that we have been hardening for many lives. So it becomes absurd for us to even think that with just invoking our Divine Mother once and asking of her to eliminate this or that aggregate, that that aggregate is just going to disappear overnight. It will not happen like that. These aggregates require attention. They require of us to be observant. And they certainly require of our tenacity to be consistent in the work. The last thing that we would like to offer you is for you to have in consideration that it becomes important, this being a psychological gymnasium, that you are not emotionally or energetically drained. You need to be able to have some strength Just like you need to be able to have enough strength to go and work out in any gym. So as you take yourself throughout the day, start by observing how much of your attention is going into your mobile device. Start observing how much of your time you are dedicating in front of the TV to binge watch TV shows or movies. How much time you are consuming going to the movies. How much time you are dedicating into activities that have no payback, that have no return of your investment of time, rather than consuming all that time doing that. We invite you to try to meditate every night. We invite you to do an exercise of retrospection at the end of the day. And we certainly invite you to do exercises of pranayama. Pranayama is a Sanskrit word that means the harnessing of the winds. And the whole purpose of pranayama, as you may have already learned in our many other lectures, is to breathe rhythmically so that we can help in the transmutation of our creative waters, and that we can then make the flow of that energy available, not only towards the awakening of our serpentine force, of our igneous powers that come with the rising of Kundalini, but also that you can have that energy available for your internal spiritual practice. You need to conserve of that energy every time that you hold back and refrain from reacting. You make that energy available for your spiritual practice. Every time that you hold back and you refrain from walking away, from responding in one way or another, every time that you refrain from giving yourself into contributing, whether it's slander or gossip or judgments, etc., the effort of refraining is equivalent to stealing away the fire from that dragon. So do that. Make that energy available for your spiritual practice, and you, before long, will start seeing the difference. So now that we're here, let's go ahead and continue by relaxing our body. Now that you have a better idea on the different things that you should be doing and should not be doing during the day, now your work becomes perhaps a little bit easier, because now you have more certainty on the things that you should do. So let's go ahead and take a deep breath in. 1, 2. 1, 2. If you have an opportunity to lay down, we invite you to lay down. A good posture would be the posture of the corpse, where you would be resting flat on your back with your arms stretched comfortably along the sides of your body, your legs stretched out comfortably on top of the mattress, the carpet, the rug, or perhaps your yoga mat. Just bring your heels together and allow your feet to spread side to side, opening up like a fan. Some of you would perhaps choose to lay on your back by spreading your arms from side to side and opening your legs from side to side as well, mimicking the shape of a 5-pointed star. This is a very powerful posture, because before this 5-pointed star, before these this flaming star. Samael tells us, the columns of tenebrous ones, they flee terrified. So as you make yourself comfortable, let's be observant of our breathing. And as we make ourselves conscious of our breathing, we notice how our belly expands and collapses naturally and effortlessly. With every exhalation, we make an effort to relax even deeper and further. And now, after a few breaths, let's control the rhythm of our breathing. And let's allow the flow of air through our nostrils to just flow in a way that is very quiet and silent. Allow yourself to be breathing in such a relaxed state that you no longer hear your breathing. If you cannot breathe through your nose, but you can of course breathe through your mouth, allow the flow of air to come in and out as a very gentle breath. And allow your body just to rest comfortably and sink into the mattress. Just allow your body to sink into your yoga mat, sink into your rug, into your carpet. And as we do the practice of the gnomes, just allow these gnomes to walk one by one off the soles of your feet. And as every one of them starts walking out, you immediately feel that relaxation expanding from your feet into your ankles and up into your calves, all the way up to your knees. Continue to breathe effortlessly, and as you make use of your objective imagination, which is the very same as the faculty of clairvoyance, observe the gnomes walking out the soles of your feet, and allow that relaxation to expand past your knees, into your thighs. Use the eye of your mind so that you can see that that relaxation is not just superficial, but that that relaxation is taking place in the many layers of tissue that make up your muscles and your legs. And with every exhalation, allow that relaxation to reach deeper into your legs and your thighs. All in the while these little gnomes continue walking out the soles of your feet. continue breathing effortlessly and bring that relaxation then into your glutes, your buttocks, and your creative organs. Not only relax the muscles of your abdomen, but also relax your intestines. With every relaxation, with every exhalation, continue seeing these little gnomes walking out the soles of your feet, and allow any tension, any worries, any preoccupations that you may have to dissipate. Relax your stomach. Relax your liver, your pancreas, your spleen. With every exhalation, as you continue visualizing those little gnomes walking out the soles of your feet, visualize that your lymph nodes suffer of no restrictions, that they allow for harmonious flow of fluids within your body. And relax your lungs. Bring that relaxation into your heart. And perhaps you may feel that your exhalation becomes more profound, that it feels deeper, richer. Well, that is natural. So let's experience it without identifying and fascinating with it. Let's continue observing these little gnomes walking out the soles of our feet. And bring that relaxation onto your shoulders. If you have been thinking about problems, if you have been preoccupied because of certain circumstances in your life, give yourself an opportunity now to not have any attachments to those worries, to not have any attachments to those preoccupations. And allow that sense of relaxation to cascade down your arms, from your shoulders, onto your elbows, from your elbows onto your wrists, expanding into your hands and out the tips of your fingers. Continue breathing without making any meaningful effort. Allow that breath of life just to penetrate every atom, every molecule, every cell, and every particle of your body. and still seeing those little gnomes playfully walking out the soles of your feet. Relax your jaw. Relax your tongue and your lips. Relax your nose. Relax your cheeks. And relax your ears. Relax your eyes. Relax your forehead. And relax your scalp all the way up to the crown of your head. And at this moment, you may say, Divine Father, Father of mine, you who are my true being, Father, you who are my internal God, we ask of you, we beg of you with our soul and our heart, that you guide us through this exercise of retrospection. Allow us to discover our defects. Help us understand what motivates them. Allow us to comprehend how they affect our thinking, the ways in which they affect our emotions, the ways in which they affect our habits, the way in which they steal from us of our creative power. And also we ask that you help strengthen our willpower. We ask that you grant us that additional bit of willpower that is necessary so that we may finally define ourselves, so that we can then be decisive in our decision, and so that we can develop then the love for this internal work. Awaken in us our longing to consistently practice that key of SOL. Give us the necessary discernment so that we can understand what is our emotional state at any given moment, so that we can use it as a baseline of reference as we are doing and holding our daily exercise of retrospection. We ask of this with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and we ask that this materializes according to the will of the great law. So be it. And we continue to breathe. We maintain our deep state of relaxation. We are grateful for this new opportunity that we have been given. And now that you know what you would be looking for, now that you know that you're looking for those reactions, you're looking for the expressions of those thoughts at the time of the reaction, the emotions that came as a consequence of that reaction, the habits that manifested as a consequence of the reaction itself. With that new knowledge, let's start our exercise of retrospection. And we are starting at this moment. And from this moment, we start walking backwards into our day. Continue with the exercise, and if you were to fall asleep, then don't worry. Let's focus on developing the habit while we're here in this visual state, so that we can replicate this habit when our physical body sleeps. Let's take advantage of the teaching of Samael when he says that if we are doing this, even as we fall asleep, we will be able to comprehend our defect within the internal realms. Dear friends, continue with this practice. And may all beings be happy.